7 o'clock. Rise and shine pile. Good morning. Jim Davis, one of the Buckeye Boys from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Thursday, that actually for us is a Friday since we'll be off tomorrow for Good Friday. We'll have a CBS Sports filling in tomorrow, but we have a lot to get to in the program today. For example, it is the opening day of the Major League Baseball season.
Yeah, we're all 162-0.
That's right. Everybody's a World Series contender today.
Yep. Everybody's still in it.
Including the Colorado Rockies.
And my Cleveland Indians, too.
I saw where, I think it was on ESPN, that they feel the AL Central might be the best division in baseball. In terms of, I think from a competitive standpoint.
Maybe.
I thought that's what I saw the other day.
I don't know. I think the NL East is going to be pretty competitive. I think the Braves are just going to run. I think they win it, but I don't think they're just run away with it.
No, I don't think so either. Yeah, the NL East, because the Braves are good. Marlins, we saw last year, and I get it. It was a shortened season, but much, much better than we thought they were going to be, right? Yeah. Philadelphia has potential of contending. The Mets obviously have done a lot.
And the Mets won, of course, the World Series 2 years ago.
Yeah, so you have a World Series champion within recent memory. You have your Frankie Lindor got paid, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. 341, almost right we were talking about earlier in the week.
And look, as far as I'm concerned, he deserves that money more than Fernando Tatis Jr. does.
Yeah.
He's earned that
money. He's got a lot more dirt in his spikes. You know, and we talked about it. He was a 20-20-20 guy with doubles, homers, stolen bases. You don't get that a ton from players. You know, he plays a demanding position in the infield as shortstop. He's one of the best shortstops, was in the American League. Now he's one of the best in the National League just by virtue of being traded. I think he's much closer to earning, deserving that money than Tatis.
I agree. I do. I totally agree with that. That I think that he's a guy that his track record, his success has proven that he deserves to make that kind of money. So our Q-Dub question of the day today. We've asked this before. We'll ask it again today and add a little something to it. How do you think the Rockies will finish this year? What will be their final record? Who will be their MVP? Doesn't mean we're talking about winning the league MVP. I'm talking about the team MVP. And who will be their best pitcher? I saw a grimace there.
That was readjusting in the chair.
Okay.
That's what that was.
I think it's going to be Airman Marquez as their best pitcher again.
Yeah. That one's pretty easy, I think.
I think that's a pretty easy one. I think Kyle Freeland could challenge that a little bit once, of course, he gets back on the bump after the shoulder, you know, injury, the shoulder strain.
It always worries me breaking camp with injuries.
It's not good.
It doesn't ever seem like anybody ever bounces back for that year.
Can we immediately cross John Gray off that list?
I don't think you can immediately. I mean, I think
isn't the inclination to do that, though?
Yeah, I'm inclined to do it, absolutely. But I don't think it's a season starts today. We know John Gray's not going to be there. Because he might. He has the stuff.
He has shown that at various times.
It's the mental stuff that he needs to develop a little bit more.
And
who knows if he ever does.
And that's the maddening thing about him. Is that you've seen years where you go, okay, maybe he's figured it out. Maybe he's finally put it all together.
Or stretches.
Like 2017. He went 10-4 that year at a 3.67 ERA.
Yeah.
You're going, okay. Or through 110 innings that year. You're going, okay, maybe he's got it right. And then 2018, okay, well, wasn't nearly as good, but not horrific. ERA certainly went up to 5.12, but he was 12-9 that year, 11-8 in 2019. And the ERA went back down to 3.84. And then last year, it was a very abbreviated time for him, went 2-4 with a 6.69 ERA. So that's the thing that's maddening about him, is you have years like 2017, and then at times in 2019 where you think, okay, maybe he's got it figured out. But it's hard to believe in him, right? It really is.
Yeah, it's hard to have any faith in him.
Best position guy. Just default, it's going to be Trevor? Yeah. Default?
I think so.
No CJ Krohn for you?
No.
Maybe how about the surprise player? Guy that you kind of like, remember when Mark Reynolds and the Sheriff went off?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't expect much from Mark Reynolds, and he kind of carried them early on. Is there a guy like that on this team in 2021?
I'm going to go Raimel Tapia.
Yeah, I like that. I like Tapia.
He's got a good average. He's got a good BABIP. You know, he doesn't put the ball in play all the time, but when he does, he's hitting almost 400. You know,
I might go with Ryan McMahon. And this year, McMahon, you know, look, and everything's kind of working against him, right? And that he's got to replace Nolan Arenado, and that maybe he thrives in that environment, that pressure now. He's back to what he played here in Grand Junction.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that's the change for him.
I just worry that he puts too much pressure on himself filling in for Arenado. You know, not filling in, but taking over. That's my worry, is that he is knowing that's his role, and he tries too hard. You know, he's gripping the stick a little bit too much to try to replicate that offense.
And that's entirely possible. Or maybe he just says, you know what? Damn the torpedoes. I don't care. Whatever. And he just goes out. And maybe this, because he's back to what he's played previously.
Mm-hmm.
Because he came up as a third baseman. Maybe this is, you know, I'm back to the natural position I played. I feel more comfortable here. And maybe, you know, maybe it works the opposite way. You're right. Logically, it makes a lot of sense to say what you're saying. Mm-hmm. That he's going to feel the pressure. He's got to replace the offensive numbers of Nolan Arenado along with the you know, Gold Glove defense that Arenado brought to the hot corner every single year.
Instead of focusing on being solid, he focuses on being superhuman and trying to be superhuman when, you know, your talent got you to the majors. Say what you want about the Rockies system, you're still a Major League Baseball player. You know, just use that. Don't try to be anybody else. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know about Ryan McMahon. Still, we're what, 4 years in? I still don't know.
So your thoughts on that today? Maybe we'll just... You want to keep in the MVP?
Yeah, let's do that.
We'll keep in MVP. We'll add a surprise player. And who do you think is the Rockies' best pitcher this season? I just think it's Marquez.
Daniel Bard could be in that conversation.
Bard could be in that conversation. What about Austin Gomber?
No
Austin Gomber for you? Okay.
I know that, you know, Mike was very positive about his last outing down in Arizona, but
he also gave up four bombs.
Yeah.
In that one spring training game, I forget, it was against the Angels? I remember who
it was Friday or Saturday last week.
And he's like, well, you know, that one wouldn't have got out of most parks. One, I think it was Ohtani hit.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't have got out of Coors. You know, wouldn't have got out a lot of ballparks. And, you know, it just would have been a deep fly ball. But it would just seem like a lot of excuse making. You gave up four home runs, dude.
Well, they're not home runs everywhere, but they were in that park.
But they were that day and against that batter and that team.
You can't say that all the time. Well, you know, what is he going to say? You know, sea level, those ones don't go out.
Well,
we're not at sea level.
Coors Field is not at sea level, buddy.
So, and I get what Mike Rice yesterday joining us was trying to say, that not all fly balls are created equal, right? Not all of them are barreled with the launch angle and the exit velo exactly. to get out of the park. And I understand that, but you're much more likely to allow a home run when you're a fly ball pitcher than you are if everybody's whacking the ball into the dirt in front of home plate. You know, you're much more likely to see some of those leave the park if you're giving them up off the bat and they go into the air. It sounds stupid simple, but it's
the
truth.
But that's the truth. If you're a fly ball pitcher at Coors Field, it has it's the mm-hmm. recipe for disaster. And that's who he is.
There's gonna could be a couple balls that Austin Gomber releases, and it's gonna be the line from Major League 2. That ball wouldn't have been out a lot of parks. Name one. Yellowstone?
Yellowstone?
He's gonna give up one that just is a bomb. And he's gonna give up a couple that probably are wall scrapers. He's a fly ball pitcher in Colorado. That's not a good recipe.
Mm-mm.
So, you know, I don't know, but I don't think it's going to be him. I'm still not wowed by that deal.
Well,
I think the thing that bothers me is that
there's nothing to be wowed by. I mean, other than you gave up a future Hall of Famer for basically nothing.
There are three catchers in their top 11 prospects, and you got zero of them. And if you're having Austin Gomber as the centerpiece of this deal, that's not a win for you. No matter who he gave up.
So predictions on the Rockies. Their record, and I'm trying to remember if I said what, 68? I thought I said 68 wins, 67 wins.
Somewhere right around there,
I think. Did you keep that by any chance?
I wasn't here that day.
Oh, that's true. It was Nibbles.
That was Nibbles, so probably not.
This will be my firm.
Your official?
This will be my firm official. I'm gonna uptick it just a little bit.
Okay.
I'm going to give them 70 wins. I think they can win 70 games.
70 and 92.
Yes.
I'm going 67 and 95.
Okay. Feel comfortable with that.
Yeah.
And I feel fairly comfortable.
I've given them 7 more wins since the start of spring training.
And I have, as I've given them far more as well. Yeah. I think I started out like at 66, and I've now bumped it up to 70.
What, a hope springs eternal?
Yes.
You know, talk to me at Memorial Day. See if I still am holding firm on 67 and 95.
And once again, we want to stress, we would love to be wrong.
We love the Rockies.
I want to be wrong. Please, believe me, I want to be wrong.
But we're not Dick Monfort.
I can't go with this.
We're going to win 97 games.
No, you're not.
Are you playing 300 this year? Or
who are you playing?
Right.
You're obviously not playing the Dodgers or the Padres this season.
You come in a week at Juco? That might give you 4 or 5 wins.
Yeah. I just can't go. And 70's, that's 70. I just think that's kind of right where they're going to be.
Just now 3 consecutive years, they've added no one of note.
Well,
sorry, CJ Krohn, but go ahead.
Well, here's the thing that, they've added CJ Krohn. Now, I saw this article today from Patrick Saunders about Yolish Chacin, because Yolish Chacin he's been throwing for the Rockies pitching coaches, so it looks like they're really close to bringing him back. And so, because Krohn came in, because Krohn was not a free agent, was he?
I think he was a non-roster invitee.
Yes, he was a non-roster, because according to Patrick Saunders, whose stuff is always pretty rock solid,
pretty right on, yeah,
that if they sign Chacin, he'll be the first free agent signing since, fill in the blank for me,
Murphy, right?
2018, Daniel Murphy.
Oh, yeah. It, 3 years.
3 years. They haven't signed a free agent.
They haven't signed a big league free agent in 3 years.
Yeah, because Krohn was a non-roster invitee. I just looked that up. So it does not count as a free agent. If Chacin signs, think about that. he'll be the first free agent they've added in 3 years. Do I need to say more about what that means? What that means for a ball club to not add any free agents for 3 years? So anyway, Rockies today with Airman Marquez in the bump. Clayton Kershaw will go up against him today. So that will be on the team today with Jack Corrigan and Mike Rice. Rockies get the season started. Look, as down as we've been on some of these things with the Rockies, I'm excited baseball season is here.
Yes.
I am pumped that it's here.
Absolutely. Today's my New Year's Day.
Everybody's playing today.
Yep.
On this April 1st. And we're not, I'm going to tell you right now, Pyle, you and I, Buckeye, we don't buy into the whole April Fools. There's no April Fools thing. We're not going to tell
you. I'm a grown up.
We're not going to tell you that the Broncos made a trade for Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Or some idiotic thing like that. No.
We're grown-ups here.
We're not going to
do that stupid crap.
We're not going to do that today. No, this is an anti-April Fool's Day program.
Absolutely. The anti-April Fool's Day, don't pinch me if I'm not wearing green. You know, a lot of those things to where it's like, we're adults here.
Like, and I know people are like, oh, you guys are no fun. Well, no, it's just, there comes a point where that just becomes ridiculous and silly. Right. We're not going to do that.
It's just you're trying to make people look stupid. You get a kick out of making people look stupid.
Oh, you totally bought that.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
Well, you're an idiot. And, you know, that's not very cool to do to people. And with the St. Patrick, don't touch me. That's all. It has nothing to do with not being fun.
Make one simple request.
Yeah.
Do not touch me.
I don't want to look like an idiot because I can do that on my own. I don't need your help.
Exactly.
And don't touch me. That's it.
Hurting myself, I can do that and not even try.
Absolutely. I can hurt myself more than your pinch will hurt, and I don't have to have anybody touch me. So, there we go.
So if you're expecting, oh, we're going to have some April Fool's thing, we're not going to do that. That's just not going to happen today.
You can come into here, this program, it's a safe space. If you're not a big April Fool's fan, welcome.
Welcome aboard.
If you are, you can get that somewhere else. We don't need to give it to you.
Yeah.
And no, we're not, our April Fool's prank is not Julius Chachin may sign with the Rockies. That's for real.
That's a for real thing. That is not a made up thing.
He has not had an ERA under 5 since the Rockies signed a free agent.
Remember when he started 2009, he was 21. Gosh, it seems like that was a lifetime ago now.
Yeah.
Got a text from Mike this morning, Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line. I feel the Brian Shaw-esque excuses coming. Remember Shaw had rolled out a ton of excuses why he sucked with the Rockies.
There's only two teams that want him to play, and it's the Rockies and the Indians. I cannot escape him.
Nobody else really wants him. Uh-huh. Nobody else. All right, 7:18. Mark Johnson will join us. Get Mark's thoughts about the Final Four.
Yeah.
Those surprising, scrappy UCLA Bruins. Those
big April Fool's guy, maybe, Mark? I don't know.
We'll find out. See if Mark does that. I get the sense Mark's not that.
Yeah.
I don't think Mark's that guy. I don't think Mark's that guy.
He likes to have fun, joke around, but I don't think he's going, oh, you're an idiot. He's not one of those guys.
And we'll get some thoughts about Buff Spring Football. Also, Deshaun Schwartz, Dallas Walton hitting the transfer portal as well for the Buffs basketball team. All right, 7:18.
What's happening?
All right, start things out with the Rockies and the rest of Major League Baseball. Open the season today when the Rockies host the Dodgers at Coors Field. It'll be different from last season when no fans were allowed due to COVID. Mike Rice of 850 KOA, the Rockies radio network, became all too familiar with the empty ballpark at Coors Field last season. He saw it firsthand, so he's excited to get the season going, especially since the Rockies open up against the World Series champs.
It'll be good, and it'll be interesting to see how this team comes out of the gate. You can't get much bigger of a test, and so let's roll the ball out and see what happens.
All right, so it'll be Airman Marquez for Colorado against Clayton Kershaw today for the Dodgers. Rockies on deck at 1:30 today on the Team Sports Network. Former Rockies pitcher Yulish Chacin appears to be close to rejoining Colorado. The veteran right-hander threw for the team's pitching coaches and could become the first free agent signing by Colorado since they inked now-retired first baseman Daniel Murphy in 2018. The 33-year-old Chacin made his big league debut with Colorado in 2009 and has pitched for Arizona, Atlanta, and four other major league teams. Colorado's Jonas Donskoy scored three goals, led the Avalanche to a 9-3 hammering of Arizona Thursday night in Denver. It's Donskoy's second career hat trick, with captain Gabe Landeskog adding two goals. Colorado netminder Philip Grubauer stopped 28 shots to nail down his league-leading 22nd victory. Also, the Avalanche making a move that's very cap-friendly, and also was reported by, I should say, the website cap-friendly. Defenseman Keaton Middleton has officially been signed by the Avs to a two-year entry-level deal that will start up immediately. Middleton was a draft pick by Toronto in 2016, but did not sign a contract with the Maple Leafs. He played for two seasons in the AHL for San Jose before coming to Colorado to play for the Eagles this season.
Alex Newhook also coming from BC?
Believe so.
Yeah.
Just saw the Middleton one. Didn't see that one. Thank you for adding that
You're welcome.
Also, former Fruita Monument standout Lila Deer is the RMAC Soccer Player of the Week. The Colorado Mesa freshman scored her first two collegiate goals in a 5-0 win over Western Colorado, scored on a penalty kick in a 2-1 loss to Westminster, and scored two goals in a 3-0 win over Black Hills State. Deer led the state in scoring her junior season with the Wildcats and now leads the RMAC in scoring. CMU is 3-2-1 and 1-1 in RMAC play.
It's nice to see college soccer is not slowing her down at all.
No, not at all.
Five goals in a week. That's not bad.
Not at all. Lila's picked it up pretty quickly, yeah. this whole college soccer thing.
I think she got it figured out.
Colorado Mesa softball player Ellie Smith is the RMAC Offensive Player of the Week. The sophomore designated hitter and pitcher hit three home runs and drove in 10 runs in the Mavs series win at Regis. 14-0 CMU has moved to 19th in the latest National Fast Pitch Coaches Poll. The CMU baseball team is still second in the National Collegiate Association poll. And that's a quick look at
what's happening
on Nuggets Clippers tonight.
Yeah.
We'll have that for you with Jason Kosmiski pregame at 7:30 tonight.
Did you catch the very end? Not the very end, but with like 5 minutes left, the little scrap that the Avs and the Desert Dogs got into with Nathan MacKinnon throwing some dude's helmet off his face. He went the Miles Garrett a little bit. It was an underhand toss, but it hit the guy. The guy was like, he got hit with a freaking grenade. But it was perfect. And so there's all these gifts like, somebody superimposed a big L over the top of the helmet.
Oh, it's great.
It's great.
All right, 7:22. And Mark Johnson, voice of Colorado Buffaloes, will join us coming up in just a moment. The Jim Davis Show is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. The tournament's down to four teams. Final four this Saturday, right here on the team. Houston Baylor, overall number one seed Gonzaga, and upstart UCLA. So if you've been watching from the sidelines, now's your chance to get on the action. FanDuel Sportsbook's hooking you up with exclusive 40-1 odds on all four teams left in the bracket, even the favorites like Gonzaga and Baylor. That's right. New users can get 40-1 odds on any team to win this round. You could win $200 in a $5 bet. I still have Gonzaga bringing it all home, going undefeated, first team to do it since Indiana in 1976. So I still have my money on Gonzaga to win it all. All you have to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and make your first deposit to unlock exclusive 40-1 odds. The app is easy to use, and when you win, you get paid in as little as 24 hours. So sign up with the promo code KTMM to know that I sent you the promo code for FanDuel Sportsbook. It's KTMM. 21 and older, present, Colorado and users only, must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit required. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
Cuckoo, loony, and crazy. The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. It's time to talk Buffs with CU voice Mark Johnson on The Jim Davis Show on The Team.
With us on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team line, he is the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Good morning, Mark.
Jim, good Thursday morning. Good to be on.
Likewise, having you on. Happy almost Good Friday and Easter as well.
It's a big weekend for people who are believers like that. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, happy Easter to everybody.
Any Easter traditions around the Johnson household?
There were the things that we did as kids, the Easter bunny type stuff.
Right.
You get older and you've grown your faith a little bit and realize that's not really not part of it. So, we'll be getting together with the granddaughter, the daughter, and my daughter's mother-in-law tomorrow. I'm getting there on Sunday for a little church service, a little Easter lunch. So we're looking forward to that.
Sounds like a wonderful Easter that you have planned for the Johnson family. So
I'll the way I kind of go about this deal, I'll just be spoiling the grind down her. So that'll be my job.
She's not nearly old enough yet to do the whole Easter egg thing. If you're going to do that, she's not quite there yet, is she?
No. She's just a wee one. Rolling end of things. So it doesn't matter what you put in front of her, she's going to grab it. It doesn't have to be an Easter egg.
Exactly. Yeah, she'll be entertained with whatever you put in front of her.
Exactly.
Well, Mark, what's your thoughts about the Final Four? Because, hey, that upstart program that nobody's ever heard of, UCLA, you know, Cinderella story, this long-suffering, college basketball program has never had any success in its history.
No.
What do you mean? Hey, look, we would joke about UCLA, but, they're the first four team to make it to the Final Four. Give Coach Cronin and those guys credit for being able to get that team to the Final Four.
Well, and the thing about it is, to kind of carry on your line of thinking there at the top, was that's an exceptionally talented basketball team. I mean, Johnny Juzang was a very highly regarded guy when he came out of high school with the Kentucky and transferred. Javi Jaquez is outstanding, and I love the way Tiger Campbell, he was my second favorite point guard in the Pac-12, behind McKinley Wright. And so that's a very talented basketball team, and so I'm not surprised that they're in the final. Let me put it this way. I'm surprised they're in the Final Four. I don't think they don't belong in the Final Four. Let's put it that way, because
right.
They've got that kind of talent. And you and I have talked about this before on your program. When you get to this time of the year, everybody in that tournament's really good. And I know people like to think, this team's an 11 seed or this or that. There are going to be a couple of exceptions from a talent level standpoint that get hot in the lower level conference tournament, make the tournament, and you wouldn't say on a normal year, well, they technically belong there because of, where they're at from a talent level compared to everybody else in the tournament. But when generally speaking, out of those 68 teams that make it, there are going to be about 64 of them who are really talented and all are fantastic basketball teams. I mean, look at what Oregon State did, for goodness sakes. They were sixth in the Pac-12. Everyone thought the Pac-12 was a bad league. It was the sixth or seventh best conference in the nation. Well, they're really talented. I mean, Ethan Thompson's outstanding. I mean, that's a high-level college basketball player. And it just goes to show, and you hear coaches, Tad says this all the time. He says, no matter who you play, you're playing a talented group of players on the other side. Fans don't always buy that. I think we're seeing a good example of that here in this NCAA tournament.
And like you said, for the Pac-12, I mean, Oregon State's deep run, what USC was able to do. We'll talk more about their game with Gonzaga in just a moment. But UCLA as well, that, Colorado getting into the tournament also. That, yeah, the Pac-12 went from the classic, outhouse, totally disrespected to... Yeah. To garnering a lot of respect with what they're able to do to get teams into the Elite Eight.
Well, I just saw, too, that the Pac-12/Pac-10 just set a new record for units, and for your listeners that don't know what that is, every time you advance, a team advances, there are units that are given then to that team, which then collectively are for the conference, and ultimately what that is a financial payout over the next number of years. And so it's been a good financial year for the Pac-12, obviously. And the other thing about it, too, that I think this is a good lesson in, and really when you look at this, the entire tournament, all the lower seeds that were able to win and move on, the matchups are an incredible part of the luck of the tournament. And what I mean by that is the way everything unfolds in front of you as you're moving along really can help things as well. And so, I've said many times, you got to be really good and you got to be really lucky to get yourself an NCAA championship or any kind of championship for that matter. And so depending on how things fall in front of you, and I think, there were some teams that really benefited from that. That's not to take anything away from their performance and how deep they've gone or how deep they are, still are. It just works out very well from a matchup standpoint, which is enormously important in any sport. The matchup with the kind of team you're playing and how does your team align next to them and those kind of things. So I think it's a great lesson for all of us, I think, this NCAA tournament, from what the Pac-12 did, a lot of other teams did, in terms of, everyone being good. There's a lot of talent out there. There is some level of parity. Now, we don't want to go overboard with that because there's still some great programs that are great every single year, but a lot of great lessons can be taken from this NCAA tournament.
Voice of Colorado Buffalo's Mark Johnson joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Gonzaga defeating USC. The Zags had a 19-point lead at halftime. Buckeye boy, and when we were talking about the game before when USC scored off against Gonzaga, we thought Gonzaga would win.
Yeah.
We thought the double-digit win streak would come to an end. Well, we were half right, at least. I just thought USC, with their length, with the Mobley brothers, with Tajidi in the backcourt, that they would hang with Gonzaga. How impressed are you with Gonzaga? Because you had a chance to see USC, you know, for yourself, and yep. when the Buffs play them and beat them this year in the Pac-12 tournament, one of those victories. I just thought I was really impressed with USC. I thought they would hang tougher with Gonzaga than they did.
Well, I don't know that Gonzaga is overall 19 points better than USC, but they were on that given game. I mean, USC turned the ball over mm-hmm. way too many times early, and you know the snowball got rolling downhill. The next thing you know they're down by 18, 19, 20 points. Ends up being a 19 point lead at the half. And then, you know, you've heard me say this before, it's easy to come back. It's really hard to come back and win. And, you know, things just never – in that second half, you're behind a team of that caliber by double digits, nearly 20 points. And, you know, that's a pretty daunting task to come out and play against a team like that and overcome that kind of deficit. And so USC's a quality team. They're a high-level quality team with some phenomenal athletes and some NBA guys on it. But right now, Gonzaga, I've been saying this all year long. I thought what you had is 1A in Gonzaga, 1B in Baylor, and then everybody else. And Gonzaga is awful impressive. My goodness. They lead the nation in two-point field goal percentage. They're also a very good three-point shooting team, by the way. But the way Timmy plays inside and Kispert, and I mean, that is an impressive basketball team. And I wondered a number of years ago, you know, 1976, that Bobby Knight led Indiana team that went to undefeated. I thought, you know, I'm not sure we're ever going to see that again. I think we're going to see that again because I think Gonzaga is that good. And they've got that much of an advantage over the rest of the field overall in college basketball, but even in the Final Four right now. So what's going to have to happen for that not to happen, to have an undefeated national champion, they're going to have a really bad night shooting. I mean, that's the way it's going to be because they're so fundamentally sound everywhere else, and they've got such phenomenal depth, and just every aspect of that team is quality. The only way it's going to happen is if they just have one of those freak nights where it's just not going in and then somebody else is out of their mind, you know, having the opposite type of night shooting the basketball. Otherwise, I don't think anyone's going to beat Gonzaga.
Pac-12 gets another crack at Gonzaga, but this time it's UCLA.
Yeah.
What? I guess, are there any advantages, Mark, for the Bruins that the Trojans didn't have that might be an effective counterpunch to Gonzaga coming up on Saturday?
Boy, that's an interesting question. There's nothing that just jumps off the page at me in that regard. You know, UCLA, I was surprised that Michigan wasn't better able to take advantage of the size advantage they had internally. Against UCLA, you know, and then they had a couple of bench guys come and play very well, but I don't see that happening against Gonzaga. UCLA, like I said, I think their talent's outstanding, but I just don't see that matchup in favor of UCLA in any way, shape, or form. Now, look what Michigan did down the stretch. Going back to what I was just talking about, having a great day and a bad day at the same time. Michigan had a stretch down the late portion of that ball game where, you know, one of the national writers posted kind of the play-by-play, and it was miss layup, miss layup, miss layup, miss three, miss layup, miss layup, miss three. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And so if something like that goes down again, like we talked about earlier, it may happen. I'm just not sure that UCLA's got the overall firepower and depth and quality to do what you need to do to beat Gonzaga, unless Gonzaga, like I said, you know, just kind of falls off the edge of the cliff.
Exactly. Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffaloes, with us today on the Team Sports Network. So you're thinking Gonzaga-Baylor. Gonzaga wins it on Monday.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I look at that Houston-Baylor game, and you know, Baylor, I was saying all season long, like I said, 1A and 1B, Baylor kind of fell off towards the end of the season. They're playing very good basketball, but, you know, they weren't nearly as dominant late as they were early, where, you know, you haven't seen Gonzaga have any dip or any kind of tail off, if you will, this season. So I still think, okay, Gonzaga on the one side, yeah, I think Baylor beats Houston when it's all said and done. I'm not nearly as confident in that one as I am in the other, you know, side of the bracket. But, yeah, when it's all said and done, I still think that Mark Few and the Zags are going to be hanging a banner.
Voice of the Buffaloes, Mark Johnson, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. We'll switch from basketball to on the spring football practice field for Carl Durrell and the Buffaloes. So a good sign for the Buffs. Jurek Broussard, who is the, of course, Pac-12 offensive player of the year, had a sensational season toting the rock for the Buffs, taking that knee brace off. And I like what Carl Durrell said. He got rid of the Linus blanket. I haven't seen it since the season. So good news in regard to Jerick Broussard about the knee injury.
Well, it's good news from this standpoint. And don't you love, and for all of us who are mere mortals, you know, and we're not just phenomenal athletes at the top of our games, what would you hear guys say this? You're like, what? Well, yesterday I thought it was funny when Jerick was talking, and he said something about, you know, I took it off, and it really slowed me down, and now I feel like I've got more quickness. Like, well, holy cow, man, you were one of the top two or three guys in America rushing the football. You looked unbelievably fast compared to everybody out there, and now you say you're quicker because the brace is gone. And so I always chuckle at those kind of things. But, yeah, that is good news. I'm interested to see what he's able to do now without that, because as we well know, and being around this game as long as I have been, anytime you see an athlete and they go through the ACL stuff, and that next year, generally one of the major hurdles they've got to get over is the mental hurdle. You know, doctors will tell them, yeah, you're ready to go. I mean, it really looks good, it tests good, and you're perfectly fine. And guys are always concerned about is the next step or the next cut when it's going to happen again. And so they have that mental hurdle they have to get over. And so I'm just excited for him now that, you know, a year out of that thing, he's feeling good about it. You take the brace off, and you know, now you hope any of those kind of mental concerns that you have that the doctors tell you don't need to worry about are gone, and you can just go out and play football. And, you know, if he was that good last year with the brace and with some of those concerns, what in the heck is he going to be like this year without it? And I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, with the brace, he was sensational last year. If he's even faster, man, look out the rest of the Pac-12. I do want to bounce back to basketball very briefly. For the Buffs, Deshaun Schwartz, Dallas Walton, both hitting the transfer portal. I know Deshaun's a guy that's been an offensive contributor. Dallas Walton, you know, on occasion, a guy that's gone the glass for the Buffs, a big body up front. I guess just the impact on those two guys hitting the transfer portal for Tad Boyle.
Well, and here's the thing about it. And, you know, then I saw last night where Jeriah Horn has circled back around. He's going back to Tulsa. How about that story? How about that full circle by the time it's all said and done? You know, starts out at Tulsa, goes to, or no, was at Nebraska, went to Tulsa, came to Colorado, now back to Tulsa. You know, I don't think fans should be surprised by this. And I know there's been a lot made of the fact there's over 1,000 names in the transfer portal. But, gang, we should have expected something like this because of the COVID deal and what happened with the eligibility not being used up last year. We kind of knew there was going to be a lot of movement this year. Now, I'll be interested to see what it looks like, you know, 2 years from now. Well, once things have kind of settled down and we're getting back to some semblance of normalcy, and, you know, they're not having programs out there that were, you're ending up at the end of a year where four seniors or five, so whatever it is going to be for your respective team, didn't use up their eligibility, and then what a coach is doing trying to keep the plate spinning, if you will. And so when I saw that, I immediately got all kinds of reaction. What is going on? Oh, my goodness, Dallas and Deshaun. And, you know, and I'm like, okay, just settle down here. You know, Tad Boyle, in his situation where he's trying to manage the numbers on his team, you've got some guys there who have played 4 years for the Buffaloes. They go down as, they'll all be thought of as wonderful Buffs by all of us who cover this program and around this program and fans of this program. They've got their degrees, so they have completed what you normally would from what is promised in a scholarship circumstance. And then for Tad, you had a very highly regarded recruiting class that, you know, is going to be sophomores next year. You've got the number 11 recruiting class coming in that'll be freshmen this next season. And so every coach in America is looking to kind of manage the numbers a little bit. And if players have gotten to their senior year, you think to yourself, boy, I'd love to have them back. Well, if you bring back X player X, new player A that's coming in as a freshman isn't going to get the normal minutes for his development. And so that's what every coach is looking at right now. You know, some of people thought, well, why not Dallas or Jeriah? Bring them back. Look at the way they played. Well, you know what? If you do that, then you're taking minutes away from Jabari Walker and Tristan DeSilva, and those guys aren't going to develop the way you need them to develop so that 2 years from now, they're the centerpiece of these teams. And so it's an interesting balancing act these guys are all dealing with, both in the men's and women's game right now, trying to figure out how do you take care of the numbers, keep the promise to the seniors that you did bring on, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, that they played, they've gotten their degrees, okay, they move on. And so that's what this is all about. It's nothing against Deshaun Schwartz or Dallas Walton. It's just about the program has to continue moving forward.
Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffaloes, with us down the Team Sports Network. Mark, we'll wrap it up With a couple of Easter related questions.
All right.
Okay. I'm sure you were like me when we were kids. You probably gave these to your kids as well, the chocolate Easter bunny.
Yeah.
When you used to get one as a kid, did you bite the ears off first?
First off, I need to make the distinction. I always enjoyed the white chocolate bunny.
Okay. Well, that's chocolate bunny, that okay. whatever flavor, sir, yeah. that was your preference back in the day, but did you bite the ears off first?
Yeah. And then whatever flavor it was, the ears came off immediately. Yes. I'm pretty sure there's a law in America that you have to eat the ears before you eat anything else.
I think it's, you know, it's one of those subtle kind of, you know, laws that are, you know, buried, you know, yeah. like you can't put a rain barrel out, you
right.
know,
or that can't spit on the sidewalk, those kind of things.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't tie your horse to a fence post,
yep.
you know, and some, within the county limits. Yeah. Something like that.
I'm pretty sure that's true.
Peeps or no peeps?
You know, I'm not a peeps guy. And the funny thing is, I was a peeps guy as a kid. I loved the peeps.
Right.
But as I got older, I liked the peeps. Now they just kind of, yeah. They're kind of dry and.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I'm both of those things.
Right.
Both of those things. Hey, Mark, I appreciate it. Have a very happy Easter. Thanks again. We'll talk to you again real soon.
You guys too. See you.
Okay. Next. Mark Johnson, Voice of the Buffaloes. Yes on the eating the ears. What about you? Did you bite the ears off first?
Yeah. Yeah,
I
so
did,
the bunny
yeah.
didn't hear what I was going to do to him the rest of the time.
Peeps or no peeps?
Ugh.
I've never liked peeps.
Never liked peeps.
There's never been a time in my life.
Not once have I ever liked peeps. It's not one of those I hated it as a kid or, you know, loved it, then hated it, then came back around. I have never liked peeps.
Yeah. That could be a question today, too.
Yeah.
Peeps or no peeps? I just have never, I've never liked them. Never been my thing.
We do need to clear up one thing, and I've forgotten about this. You've forgotten about this. We all have this week. VCU in 2011 also went first to Final Four. Shaka Smart and the fellas.
Okay.
The Rams.
Because they said that the Bruins were the first one to do
they
that.
They are dirty, dirty liars. Because the Bruins, they're not the first to do anything.
Because you saw that, right? Where they said the Bruins were the
I've seen it. Yeah, the VCU did it in 2010. Okay. Maybe they're the first to not have to go through Dayton to do or something. But they're
because
dirty,
I'm not going
liar.
Crazy because I've seen that.
I've seen the note, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay.
You know, because you forget that.
I was reading about Shaka Smart, his move to Marquette on The Athletic yesterday, and I was like, hang on a second. Didn't they go first to Final Four? And so I looked it up. I did my own research, and they did in 2011. They beat USC in the first four.
Because I remember that. Okay, I remember them doing that.
Yeah.
But that's been the thing laid out there, right? That UCLA is the first one to do this.
They're not. Because people are liars. They want to whitewash VCU from history.
People forget.
Because UCLA doesn't have enough history on their own.
Yeah, there's got to be some caveat there, right? That there's something about it.
Because I haven't seen the first since 2011. I've seen the first.
Ever.
Yeah, and it's not.
That's not true. It'd be the second to do it.
Maybe the first one to play all of their games in the same state. I don't know.
Well, apologies to VCU.
To Shaka Smart.
Who kind of gave a middle finger to Texas fans on the way out the door.
Yeah, he did.
Mm.
Ooh. Mm. But, I mean, in fairness to him, they're not going to be at Texas games to hear it or see it. So.
That's very true.
Because it's not football.
That's true. All right, 7:45, and it's time for soundcheck.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, what do you have, Buckeye?
Well, last night, not only did the Avs shatter the Desert Dogs, but they also broke some glass around the arena, and the arena crew got some love in the postgame as Mark Rycroft did an excellent breakdown of the glass change.
Here's what I love. These guys are true Avalanche fans because they got no respect for the other team. They're just in there throwing elbows and shoulders saying, get out of my way. I got to replace this in 49 seconds. So here we go. Now, we got a little danger pay here, Kyle. See, up on the toes, right on the top of the board. And here's the key to this glass, as I figured out. The top piece is everything. Mm. Once you snap that off, everything is just like putting together Lego. We're so pumped. He basically slams this glass going full board like Gronkowski rolling a touchdown. Now, here's what I love. We know this is Chytrin. He's one of their best players. The ice crew does their homework. He actually tries to take out Chychrun with this play. Watch this. I love it. Watch the corner of the glass. I mean, is that a team guy? Just misses.
Is that a team guy?
The effort.
It's so
Coach
great.
Bednar's going to give him props. You got to do whatever you can to win, folks. And now here comes the magic. It's back in, going 110. There goes the side pieces. You can see how slick this is, like changing the tires on NASCAR. And there's the top piece flying down, and the boys are done.
And before you ink up your pens with your letters as bad sportsmanship, you're advocating hurting the players. What are you teaching our kids? It's fun. It's called fun. It's a joke. It's tongue-in-cheek. Just chill down.
It's okay.
You don't have to worry about, how am I going to explain this to the kids? And they're listening to the show in the car. Just, it's fun. It's a joke. It's all right.
You okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's not advocating hurting people.
No, he's not.
But
we had Peter McNabb on yesterday talking about how the game's changed in that regard.
Yeah.
And McNabb is a guy played, you know, old-time hockey.
Yeah.
And Peter seems to totally embrace, the change to the way the game is played.
Mm-hmm. No people were hurt in the making of that.
Exactly. Jamie, this is about the first four debate. I don't think they call it the first four then. It was like a technicality. That could be the case, right?
No, because it was the first four. It was the opening round or something for a couple of years, but it's been the first four for a while.
Right. All right. 7:48. Got one from Rick this morning. Good morning, fellas. No peeps. Happy Easter. Likewise to you.
Agreed.
Mr. Rozelle.
Thank you, Rick.
Peep free.
Yeah, this is a peep free zone.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. And up next, the Avalanche, a little Mark Rycroft there, talking about the Avs. Avs taking down Arizona last night in very, very.
Are we going to have enough time to talk about all the goals?
We're going to have to talk about all of them. We'll just talk about Jonas Donskoy.
Yeah.
Second career hat trick for Donskoy last night. Avs roll the Coyotes. We'll get into that next. Also, Nuggets and Clippers tonight right here on the team.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 7:52. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Opening day for the Colorado Rockies and the rest of Major League Baseball. Rockies and Dodgers on the team today, pregame at 1:30. Who do you think will be the Rockies MVP this season? Who do you think will be their best pitcher? Who do you think will be a surprise player for the Rockies? And also maybe a prediction on their record this season. Also, peeps or no peeps? This is a peep-free.
It's a very easy question. Peeps.
It's a peep-free April Fool's prank-free program.
Absolutely.
Not going to happen. Peeps. Just not going to happen. Peeps. All right, last night, the Avalanche crushing the Arizona Coyotes at Ball Arena. There were fans there last night. And Colorado scoring 9 goals to win 9-3 over the Coyotes. Winger Jonas Donskoy had 3 of those goals. Hat trick, produced the quickest hat trick in team history, by the way, with what he did last night. His second career hat trick. Here's Donskoy on his big scoring night.
Well, I think the fans had a huge effect. I think everybody was fired up, and I think we showed it. We came out to play, and we had a good start. It's just fun to play in this line right now with Josti and Val. I know that they're gonna work their ass off every shift, and those goals that I got, it just went in front of the net and got a couple of bounces and rebounds and was able to put them in the back of the net. But playing with those two guys is super fun right now.
All right, sorry for the colorful language there from Jonas, but Donskoy with the hat trick last night. Victory extended Cubs point streak to 12 games, 10-0-2. And the Avalanche finishing the month of March with a 12-2-3 record, sets a club record for wins and points of 27 in a month. And the Denver Nuggets, they're back at it tonight. Nuggets will take on the LA Clippers tonight. Nuggets currently sit right now in 5th in the Western Conference. They're currently 7 games back of the Jazz, and the Jazz have had just an insanely good season. But the Nuggets face Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers, of course, team they beat in the bubble in the playoffs last season. And for the Nuggets tonight, we'll see what Aaron Gordon can do against Kawhi Leonard. This is part of the reason they brought him in.
Yeah.
To stop guys like Kawhi Leonard. And so after not really doing a whole lot in his second game in a Nuggets uniform, expect an extended tour of duty tonight for Aaron Gordon guarding Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe the Nuggets could luck out and it could be another load management game for Kawhi. You know, maybe he doesn't want to have to worry about the high altitude.
Well, the game tonight. Yeah, exactly. Game on the team tonight. You have to worry about that altitude. Game tonight on the team. Pregame at 7:30. Jason Kosmiski with the call, but this is one of just six remaining nationally televised games for the Nuggets. So if you don't get Altitude TV, you can watch it tonight, I believe, on TNT. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back with hour two. Latest on the NFL. Also, we'll talk with Tom Hudson.